Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals.
And gone!
Trust the same experts who make the right call for the Royals and go to kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Crunch time! Crunch time! You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Crunch time!
Crunch time!
All right, guys, welcome to Crunch Time. That's right, it's Crunch Time. It's Wednesday night. Frank Bull and I talking Chiefs, talking CBD, American Shaman. We are up here at 307 Inglewood.
Northeast Inglewood Road. It is in Gladstone, right. 64118.
Kansas right next City, to Missouri. The Hy-Vee, the Pizza Street, the 54th Street Brewery and
whatever, Grill.
They got all kinds of good stuff around here. Come in here, 30% off. All products while the show is going on. Do we have t-shirts today?
Yes, we do. They're over there.
We have t-shirts today. Come in. Yep. Get yourself a number 15 t-shirt. It's
CBD American Shaman t-shirt.
15 years of American Shaman being in existence, and we're excited about the 15th year of American Shaman, and we'll have that those shirts here too. So come on in. Hang out with us. We're going to have a great time here for the next hour, talk about the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's,
I mean, what
fun.
Is there not to love about the Kansas City Chiefs right now, Frank?
Not a thing, buddy. They're rolling right now. They're 3-0, and you realize after they play Detroit, they'll just have five road games remaining the rest of the season. Two of the five are in December.
Yeah.
So they're going to have three in October and November, and then two in December. Of course, they play the Bears. New England on a road, and then they play the Bears on a road.
Yeah, two tough games on the road, but yes. This is a really, really good football team as the Kansas City Chiefs right now are 3-0 and beat the Baltimore Ravens by the score of 33-28. And a lot of people believe that the Ravens are the third best team in the AFC, and I agree with them. A lot of people think that the Ravens are one of the top five teams in the NFL, and I agree with them. I think the Ravens are a very good team, a very physical team. They have a quarterback who's coming into his own. I really like the way Lamar Jackson plays. You know, he runs around, he makes plays, he's throwing the ball. He's becoming a passer and not just a runner. He's becoming that. Now he threw a couple up in the air. It was a little 50-50 balls.
Who got the 50-50 balls?
The bad 50.
Baltimore got the 50-50.
But so I got a couple questions for you, Frank, as we work in after. You know, listen, we are three games in, right? You always break down NFL seasons by quarters, okay? So the first quarter is the first four games. The second quarter is the next four games. And then there you got halftime, you got your break, and then you have another four and another four, which equals a 16. See, I'm a good mathematician.
That's good. That's a good Notre Dame education.
You like my education
there?
Yeah,
I like that. Uh-huh.
Okay, so as we look so far, just looking at the first quarter of this season, the second quarter has been unbelievable for this team. Last week, they scored 23 of their 33 points in the second quarter. This offense has been on fire. They are scoring points exponentially. In my good, I'll give you some of those stats and some of the things that this team has done. But the question I have for you.
Yes.
Is it the quarterback? Is it the coach? Is it the talent around him, or is it the team? So if you are going to give a percentage, and I'm going to give my percentage, and I want you to give your percentage. So if you're looking at this team thus far in this season, the first quarter of the season, I would say that the quarterback is worth, and I think this is on the low side, but I think the quarterback is worth 60% right now of the juice of this team and the winning of this team. I'm going to go with the coach at 35% because I think Andy Reid is doing an unbelievable job of scheming things in the first quarter to make the second quarter explode. And those first 15 plays, he has been masterful to seeing what formation, what play, what scheme that they want to run, and he's just blown people out in the second quarter and made people kind of just easily, the Chiefs easily go through the third and fourth quarter. I would say the talent around him is about 10%, and then I'm going to say the team is about 5%. Why is the quarterback worth 60%? This guy's athleticism, this guy's vision, this guy's confidence is unbelievable. He's averaging 14 yards a pass on first down. 14 yards a pass on first down. That is incredible. So will defenses catch up to the Kansas City Chiefs? Will defensive coordinators figure out what they're doing? I would say they're going to get better at it. But remember what Andy Reid said, and I think Saran was talking about it towards the end of his show, where, you know what, this is just a part of this offense. This is not the whole of the offense. This is just a part of the offense. And I believe that Andy Reid, once teams start to catch up, and I'll let you answer the question with percentages here in a second, but once teams catch up with the plays that the Chiefs are running, they'll go to another – they will go to another package, which I believe will be RPOs, and they'll scheme some runs and some play actions, and they're going to do some different things. So I believe that it's 60% the quarterback, which I probably on the low side, I'll agree with that, 35% the coach, 10% the talent around him, and 5% just the team as a whole. Thoughts?
Head coach, quarterback, 50-50. Rest of the team doesn't matter. Especially the offensive line. No, I'm only kidding. Well, but I think it is the fact that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes so far have shown us they are the perfect combination. The kid is smart. He understands defenses. He helps Andy with the schemes because he knows when we do this, the defense is going to do that. Like when he threw the ball, he thought he was going to throw it to Sammy Watkins. He ends up throwing it to Mecole Hardman, right?
Yeah.
For the touchdown, he changed at the last second. You can't coach that, really, because Andy has never had a quarterback like this. And I just think he and Andy together is a perfect combination. And I think as we go through the season, we are going to more and more realize just what a perfect combination this is. The way they adjust, the way they do things, no matter who is playing the other positions, no matter who's playing Mecole Hardman or Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, Blake Bell, anybody playing out there, DeMarcus Robinson, you know, the sausage, you know, behind the line of scrimmage, Damian Williams in or out, Darrell Williams in or out, LeSean McCoy in or out. It doesn't matter because they scheme around everything, and they just seem to have the offensive scheme down it to a science right now, because no matter how anyone has adjusted to them, they haven't been able to stop them.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of put it with 60% with the quarterback, 35% with the coach, and the coach is scheming the quarterback into good positions. But I did put 10% of the talent around him because I do think that there's so much speed on this team that it opens up a lot of the things that will help the scheming and will help the quarterback. I mean, the speed on this team, there's a lot of things that they do, and they can scheme to it. If you don't have that speed, if you don't have those athletic guys, you really can't run some of those things. So that's why I gave it 10%. I gave it a little bit. I don't think the team as a whole, I don't think the defense, especially with everything else, looking at this season thus far, is that big of a deal yet. I think by the time it's all said and done, they're going to need the special teams to pick up and maybe help out.
They're going to need the defense.
I think that'll work up its way up to maybe 15 or 20% of the season that, you know, that the talent around Mahomes and the team around Mahomes is going to become more important. But as of right now, this quarterback is carrying the hopes and the dreams of Kansas City and the hopes and the dreams of the Kansas City Chiefs on his right arm. And he's doing a hell of a job of it.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, without the quarterback, you can't do anything in this league anyway. And he is the best. He's the best player in the league. I mean, he basically right now is the best player in the league. There's arguments about this guy or that guy, not necessarily a quarterback, but maybe a defensive guy here or some other offensive guy here. But there's no one like this kid. And I think the NFL realizes it. They see it. You watch all the shows now. The lead is all about the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. That's all they're talking about right now. Can anybody slow this kid down? Can Detroit get to him? Could Baltimore get to him, which they didn't do? Okay, but, you know, can anybody get to this kid? Can they slow him down? Can they keep him in a pocket? Can they hit him? Can we get him out of the game? I mean, I don't think there's anybody talking about, okay, let's squat and break his leg. But there's guys, we got to hit this kid.
Yeah.
We got to get after this kid. We got to hit this kid. We got to try to make him, you know, look around a little bit. We just can't let him stand in there and kill us. Or they can't let him get outside the pocket to kill him either.
All right, so yeah.
No matter what you do, it's like pick your poison.
Absolutely. And that you're See, I'm trying to cut you off because you're getting into my good and bad ugly. So let's go to the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right, let's talk about the good. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes and speaking of records, listen, Patrick Mahomes this week set another record. He's one of the all-time records for the most 300-yard passing games in his first 20 games of his career with 13. So there's only been 7 out of the 20 games that Patrick Mahomes has played in that he hasn't thrown for over 300 yards. I mean, to me, that is an amazing stat. In the era where the pass game reigns supreme, in the era when you have to pass the ball, when you have a guy who is so proficient at being able to pass the ball and get the ball to multiple receivers and scheme his way into scheming people open. And when we say open, I'm saying high school open. Guys have been running wide-ass open through the middle of the field. Okay, there has, you know, he's thrown guys open. The throw he made to Travis Kelce in the beginning of the game when he threw Travis Kelce open, the guy is amazing, and his stats are starting to prove this out. I think he's got 13 games now with a 300-yard pass. I think that there's only one other guy or some other. Was it only Peyton Manning has like 15
or 16? You'll drive yourself crazy if you try to remember all
these. It's just amazing all the different stats that this guy's breaking. So the good is Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, listen, this guy is as good as I've seen in a long – well, probably ever. I'm going to say ever.
At the moment, ever.
Yeah, at the moment. So the good is Patrick Mahomes. The bad, listen – the NFL needs to nip this in the bud because we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes here in a second to see if I can get the guys over there to play his response to this question. But Patrick Mahomes was hit 20% of the time in the first half that he dropped back. Some of them were good, clean hits, but most of them were cheap shots at the end of plays, pushing him down to the ground, shoving him after a play, going low on tackles, lowering shoulders into his shoulder after a fumbled snap, you know, people piling on top of him and throwing their elbows into his back and into his legs. And Patrick Mahomes, hold on, I'll let you hear what Patrick Mahomes had to say, and then I'll tell you what I think. What did Patrick say?
No, I don't necessarily. I mean, I think the respect that guys have in this league for each other and what each other puts in every single week, they understand that everybody's just trying to play their best football and trying to do what they can to support their families. And so those guys are a physical group of guys. They play hard. They play football with passion. And so we're going to try to match that and do that every single week. And that was a great game versus a great opponent, and I was glad that we found a way to win it in the end.
Patrick Mahomes is never going to say anything negative about an opponent, all right? He's never going to do that. But when you have two personal fouls for roughing the passer, one is going low, one is a horse collar tackle, that was a point of emphasis from that coach. And if I was Andy Reid, I would have called Harbaugh and said, hey, listen, you know, what's the deal here? And I would also call the NFL. I would probably call the NFL first and say, hey, listen, this guy's the face of this league right now. He's one of the hottest players. I mean, you can't have your best players getting cheap shot and maybe getting hurt, and you're taking away the face of the NFL right now. So you better watch and make sure that this is nipped in the bud. And then I would have called Harbaugh and said, hey, listen, that's a bunch of crap, because they were hitting them all the time. They could have called 3 or 4 more, I thought, personal fouls for hitting the quarterback. And I'm not looking at it as a biased guy. I'm looking at it as a realist. The guy's getting hit, and that's a point of emphasis for teams. And the other thing is the offensive line is better take notes on this. And whenever a guy goes and cheap shots your guy late or hits your guy late, you go and take care of it. And maybe you don't do it right there, but you mark it down. And Zod and I would say, okay, you get him high, I'll get him low. We'll take him out of this game. And we would do that. Don't let anybody hit your quarterback. The ugly. The start of the second half defensively. Let's listen to these plays. First play, inside zone for 10 yards. Next play, outside zone with a cutback for 10 yards. Next play, a counter. They nipped it in the bud, only 2 yards. The next play, lead option for 7 yards. Next play, quarterback read where the quarterback keeps it, gets 8 yards. And then they decided to throw a pass. I don't know why. Incomplete, didn't get anywhere. And then next play, another outside zone with Ingram. With the tight end cracking back for 17 for a touchdown. They ran the ball 8 out of 9 times down the field and didn't look like they were having any problems doing it. The problem right now with this defense, and I like this defense. I think this defense is getting better. And I also think that they're a reflection of their defensive coordinator. They're being very aggressive, but they got to be under control. What was tough with this defense and was tough with this game is the defensive end had to respect Lamar Jackson, so he couldn't really close down hard to cut off that backside cutback, which they really hurt the Chiefs with. But the linebackers have to understand that, and they can't overflow. They kept overflowing, and Ingram, all he would do is take two steps and then run up the field. There was nobody there because everybody's overflowing so much. And the defensive linemen also were getting out of position and getting reached. So this defense has got to tighten up against the run because it's going to hurt them. Frank, that's the last thing that I'm going to say about this ugly. They would have lost this game 3 years ago if they didn't have Patrick Mahomes. This is a perfect recipe for a Chiefs loss because they would have been up. The team would have came in like the Baltimore did and run the ball. The Chiefs would go three and out, maybe try to force something and get a pick. They don't have Patrick Mahomes. They have some other quarterback, and they make a mistake, and they lose that game. That is a loss 9 out of 10 times without Patrick Mahomes.
Well, frankly, Tim, speaking from my standpoint here, I'll tell you my problem is it's a little bit what you're talking about. They probably would have lost that game in years past. They were up 30-13 with 2:07 left in the third quarter. 30-13. Final score ended up being 33-28, a five-point game. They could have lost this football game. It didn't feel like they were going to lose it, but in the end you got pretty nervous about that situation. And my deal is, and as Mitch Holtis always says, you know, put the hammer down. When you put the hammer down, you're up 30-13 in the third quarter. Don't stop until you have 45.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well just keep going. Now, everybody says, well, he started to hand the ball off. He got conservative because Pat Mahomes is getting hit. You want to get him hurt. You don't want to do this. You got to win the football game. And I think, you know, when you get up that high, because you might see this team again in the playoffs. You just want to discourage the hell out of the Baltimore Ravens in case you see him again. Instead, if they end up seeing Baltimore again, Ravens are going to come in and say, you know what? This game was a five-point game. Okay, I know we didn't score until whatever, and we cut it to five. But we could have beaten this football team. So let's go out this afternoon and beat them. You know, even though they may have to play them at Arrowhead again, they've already had the experience of being at Arrowhead. Now they come back in the playoffs and play them here again. That's a good football team. They're well coached. I can tell you something. Lamar Jackson missed some open receivers too. Number two, Chiefs cornerbacks can't cover. All right? Javarius Ward, Kendall Ford, were both in position to make on those. Remember we talked about the Hail Mary passes. To make plays on both of those passes, they didn't make a play on either one. And they get themselves out of position. They turn. They can't find the ball. That just those things, they've got a remedy. Let me ask you a question. Would you give up one of your offensive weapons for a cornerback? Would you trade Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce? Would you trade anybody for a cornerback?
Wow, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't think I would ever trade Travis Kelce. He's way too important. He is the vice president. He's the COO of this team. The CEO is Patrick Mahomes. The COO is Travis Kelce. I think all the other guys would be on the trade block if they can go out and get a top-notch closed down cover corner that they can not worry about one side of the field. I would do it in a heartbeat. I don't think I want to get rid of Hardman because he's a new guy. That's, you know, but if it's Tyreek Hill.
Well, he and Tyreek Hill are the same guy, but Tyreek got hurt.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that I would want to trade Tyreek Hill.
Right.
I just think you got Hardman as a young guy. You just drafted him. You know, keep him around. It's hard to just trade guys that you just got. But I think Sammy Watkins, I think Robinson.
Yeah, DeMarcus Robinson.
And I think Tyreek Hill would all be an option to go get a closed down cover corner that can do the job. Now listen, the Chiefs have some issues. They have a little bit of warts in this running game now, and I think people are kind of glossing over it because Patrick Mahomes is playing so well and the running game is obsolete when you have Patrick Mahomes. But let me tell you, guys, this running back situation, Shady McCoy played that. I'll tell you what, I would block for that guy in a second. I love the way he played in that game because he was hurt. All indications were, Frank, when he was coming off the plane from Oakland, he couldn't even walk.
Right.
And he played, and he played hard, and he played physical, and he planted that foot and got up the field and laid some wood on people. He played very, very well in that game, and I love that toughness. But what do you do? What do you do with that running back position? You got a bunch of guys banged up. You know, you lost your premier running back because of issues off the field, and now you have three running backs that, you know, two have injury issues, and one guy is just, you know, he's raw. He's a good, powerful. I'm talking about the Williams, the LSU Williams, the power Williams, the big Williams, the Williams Williams.
Darryl Williams.
Yeah, Darryl Williams. I like him, but I don't think that he's ever going to be a big play back. He'll be a nice back of getting the ball in the backfield.
He's a tough kid. He's big, strong runner. Yeah. Right?
But he's never going to be that.
Catch.
Yeah, never going to be that play. So they have some issues there.
Yeah. Well, LeSean McCoy, I really give him a lot of credit. You know, he's a veteran player, and he and Indy were together in Philadelphia, and he knows what Indy wants and needs, and he, you know, he's grateful for where he is and the potential of this football team, and I think that's really important for him. So,
all right, guys. Well, we are at American CBD, American Shaman of 307 Inglewood, right here in the Hy-Vee Food and Pharmacy Square, right off of Inglewood. CBD, American Shaman, come on in here and hang out with us.
We got some big news.
Get some 30% off. What do you got?
We got some big news from CBD, American Shaman.
Uh-oh.
We got some big breaking news. We're going to have Jade Mitchell join us in a minute. She's the lead chemist for American Shaman. You've met her many times down at the warehouse.
I have.
She has some big, she has some breaking news for us about CBD, as a matter of fact, and about the Hemp Authority. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And we come back after we talk to Jade. We'll come back and we'll have our matchups coming up against Detroit Lions. And we'll have our predictions coming up against Detroit Lions. And I think it's unfair that, not really unfair, that Patrick Mahomes is going to play indoors in a controlled environment. It's going to be unfair to Detroit Lions, okay, because I think I've got some stats on the last time he played indoors. We will talk about that as well, which was in college, but his statistics are just off the charts when he played indoors last
That's crazy. Guys, also, right after the show, Frank and I and some other people from here at CBD America Shaman.
Our wives.
Il Lazzarone on 412 Delaware. ALS is having a wonderful event there. Come and join us. Hang out with us. We'll be there for about an hour, hour and a half, eating some great pizza, hanging out right there in the bottoms at 412 Delaware, a great ALS fundraiser. We'll be down there, so come and visit us there.
Yeah. Frank, Stephen St. John's down there already, Stephen, doing his thing. Yeah.
Stephen's down there. So, Frank, we'll take a break here. We'll get with the chemist. We'll get with she is the smartest person in that building.
Yeah.
Jamie thinks he is, but he's not even close. We'll be back here in a second.
Jamie who?
Yeah. We'll be back with Crunch Time here in a couple seconds.
Kansas City's hometown sports station. Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. We are live right here at CBD American Shaman, 307 Inglewood, up here in Gladstone. Beautiful Gladstone. Jamie was laughing at me when I said it's in the Hy-Vee court here because it's the main place. You know, everybody knows where the Hy-Vee's at up here in Inglewood. You know, we have Pizza Street right next door. We got all kinds of great stuff here, but we are lucky to have Jade on, who is our lead chemist, who every time I go in there, I have to go in and talk to her because she's talking about nanotechnology and molecules and all this stuff. She's got these cool microscopes and all this cool stuff that she's looking at, these little particles. She is the perfectionist of CBD America Shaman. And when you have a perfectionist like that on staff, you don't have to worry about what's in the product. Too many times, everybody talks about legislation. We bring it on because we are already way ahead of that, because we do such a great job, and Jay does such a great job, and her staff and her chemists do, of really knowing what's in the product. So thank you so much for what you do.
Yeah, no problem. I've been with American Shaman for about a year, and we've done a lot of great things around the warehouse to make sure that we have the highest quality product possible. Like, when I came in there, we wanted to have the consistency. I want the same product every single time. I want the concentration every single time. And we have a very big announcement with American Shaman, and
this just happened today. Correct. This afternoon, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, absolutely. It happened maybe about a couple hours ago, and we got word from the Hemp Authority that we have been approved to have their seal of approval that we are doing good manufacturing processes in our warehouse.
Why is that a big deal?
It is a very big deal. Whenever you're manufacturing a good, you want to make sure that you are doing the best possible job to offer your consumers a safe, clean product. Everyone should be wearing their hairnets. Everyone should be wearing gloves. People should be documenting certain things on their books. You should be having all these numbers in order to have all this stuff documented. So if someone comes back to say that there's something going on, you can pull up all these documents to show people that you are doing your diligence as a company to have the quality product that you advertise.
And you're a bulldog. I mean, you are really tough.
Absolutely.
You just had a nice way to say she's
yes.
mean.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know,
I don't believe that.
The workers will come in and they'll bring in a sample. And if it's not exactly where it needs to be, she is not a happy camper. Talk to us about, you know, listen, and I hate to even bring it up, but it's in the news about, you know, people aren't quite sure what's in some of the products that are being kind of sold on the black market and all those kind of things. First of all, how scary is that? And second of all, is that why you do what you do, so people can be safe and healthy when they take one of our products?
It is a very big deal that you have the highest quality product possible. There's so many people that are just trying to make a buck, where they are buying this weird oil online from Alibaba or some type of weird exchange company, where they think they're going to save a dollar by purchasing it overseas. And then they end up getting it, and it's not CBD, right. And it could end up hurting somebody, sure. And that's a problem.
Right, yeah. And they'll slap their own label on it. I mean, they'll get it in, they'll put their label on it and throw it out there like they did it, yes.
And you often see this in this industry, where people are trying to take someone else's product and make money off of it and then go sell it in their stores, and then they didn't do their diligence as a company to make sure that they're having the right product in their stores.
And not only are you doing your own quality control down at the lab in the manufacturing plant there, but then you have the product third-party tested, which is probably the most important part of this whole thing. It's not CBD American Shaman telling you this is a great product and it's pure and it's clean.
Absolutely.
And what's in there is what we say is in there. Now all of a sudden you have an independent third party also doing their own quality control on it.
Oh, yeah. When we're making our batches, like, everything has to be documented. We have to have the lot number, when it was open, when we received it, how much you weighed of that product, what scale you weighed it on, when it was calibrated, and all these things and these quality checks in order to have this consistent batch every single time. And then when we go and test it, we make sure that the concentration is right every single time. And we can put up our own lab reports, and that's great. But when a consumer sees that you're making your own lab reports, it makes it look like you're checking your own work, and that's not something that we want to convey over to our customer, that we are putting out our own lab reports and someone's not grading us.
Right. Or if another company isn't even talking about what's in there, oh, don't worry about that, everything's fine with that, it'll take care of this, you know, this, if your hand hurts or you've got some neuropathy in your feet or whatever, it'll be just fine. You're going to be just fine.
What's another great thing that we do at American Shaman, too, as we start to make our batches, we want to make sure that the particle size is in step every single step of the way, where if we're making a batch and it's not bringing down the particle size like it normally should, then we're going to check our equipment to make sure that everything has been checked, to make sure that we're breaking that particle size down. So when people take our product, they're getting the highest absorption that they can possibly get from this product.
You know, it's interesting. You've explained this to me before about the water soluble and the oil, you know, the kind of the way in the past to take your CBD, take your product, was under the tongue, kind of an absorption that way. Why is water soluble what CBD America Shaman does so important, and why is it so much more of a product getting into your system?
Water soluble is a great product. A lot of people, they end up asking, like, how did you mix water and oil? That is scientifically not possible. Like, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I know that is not possible. And I always sound like, you're right. And we use a natural blend of emulsifiers on our product. And what it does is it creates a micelle, so it can actually be permeable to your cell membrane. And then by doing that, it will send a signal off to your endocannabinoid system in order to send a signal off to the area that you're needing relief.
Open up the receptors in that area.
Right. And when you make this micelle, like, you have this fatty lipid chain, and where it's not, it doesn't like water. It oil and water do not mix. But when you put that emulsifier head on the end of that lipid, you're able to create a micelle where it encapsulates those lipids, where it becomes water soluble. And then you break down the particle size further and further and further, so you can absorb that product a lot more than someone who's making a regular tincture.
So when you guys get the hemp oil, how much do you guys deal with the growers and just how, one of the things I thought was interesting is, you know, when you grow, they are considered watching that hemp, and they don't want it to get too hot. It's called like a hot hemp plant, where it's too much THC, and it's because of heat and maybe because of male female transaction or whatever. But when you get that natural hemp product, what's the first thing you do with it?
The first thing I do with it is you have to obviously dry it out and trim it. You don't want any types of molds that are getting on that product. You want to make sure that it's completely dry, so you're not getting any type of water weight. And then I go right for the bud. So if this gets sent into, let's say, the KBI out in Kansas, and they want to test it for THC, mm-hmm. We'll get the highest amount of THC possible from that plant. And so when they process it, that's the highest that they can possibly get, because it's a big deal. If you're growing this stuff and it's above 0.3%.
Yes, right.
The KBI will require you to burn down your field.
Yeah.
And then just to stick it to you a little bit further, they'll make you tape it and then send it back into them.
So there you go.
I grew up on a farm, and to burn your whole entire field, devastating.
Yeah. So what are the, I mean, they're testing all the time out in the field to make sure it doesn't
Absolutely.
Get hot.
Absolutely. We actually have a farm out in Alma, which is really close to where I grew up. And when the person came in, the farmer, he knew who my family was.
Yeah.
And it's homegrown. And I told him, I was like, you don't have to worry about this. Like, I'll take care of you just like you took care of us when we took down our heifers to go get them processed.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's a fantastic person. And he sent me samples as the hemp plant started to grow and mature, and then once it started to get around 7 feet tall, because they grow quite, they go, they grow like weeds.
So, they are weed, but
so,
they aren't
so to
weed.
Speak.
Yes,
we kept on giving him statistics on all of his crops, and then right when it got down to the threshold, we told him to cut it down.
Yeah, that's
okay. We're talking with Jade Mitchell, lead chemist for CBD American Shaman, a Missouri Western University grad.
Hey.
Yes,
and,
yeah, congrats.
So local girl. She's from Rossville, Kansas, as a matter of fact. So, and as we go along, and as this all expands and everything, you're going to be right in the middle of the whole thing, aren't you?
Yep, absolutely. I've been with them for over a year now, and you've watched this company just blossom.
Yes.
And it is an amazing thing to watch, and I love what I do and watching this company grow. And I work with a great team who want the highest quality product possible, and we have worked very, very hard in order to get the certificate of compliance from the Hemp Authority.
Yeah, right. And part of that is, I heard the name Dr. Sanjay Gupta, which everybody knows. He's on TV all the time. I'm the lead medical people in the whole country, especially be on TV and everything. That's a big deal, and he also gave his okay on this as well, right?
Absolutely. And when he went on television to make that verification, and he was referring to companies that were doing their diligence and making sure that they have a quality product, where you are providing your customers with certificates of analysis, or also called C of A's. And here at American Shaman, we provide C of A's for all of our products that we have in our stores, because we have nothing to hide. We are producing it correctly, and we want our customers to know that. We're not trying to sweep something under the rug. This is our product, and we made this product with everything that we know, and made sure that it was in the cleanest facility possible.
Right, that was very important to Sanjay Gupta, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you think about it, in 2018 is when the Congress basically passed the Farm Bill that you can start to grow hemp now legally.
Sure.
And now you have certificates of
analysis.
You also have the Arthritis Foundation just came out with a report Tuesday that said that CBD is a good thing for arthritis. It's a good thing for people who have arthritis, and the doctors now, it's a part of their therapy is to recommend CBD products. It's come a long way.
It has.
Really a year.
Like, I've seen this company just grow and grow and grow, and you've watched the whole entire manufacturing facility evolve and evolve into this machine where you have everything just working in unison in order to create this product. And we just want the highest quality product possible, and whenever we make our products, we want to do our diligence where we test our main ingredient, our oil or our isolate, and then we send it off for a cannabinoid profile, residual solvents, heavy metals, pesticides, mycotoxins, and terpenes.
Yeah, you check all that in there. I mean, you check out everything.
This is our raw ingredient. It's our technical grade active ingredient, and this is why people buy your product. And if you don't know these things about your product, then you don't belong in this business.
That's Jade, right. you're doing a great job. I know you have a couple of people work for you, but every time I go in there and I bring people through tours, I always have to have them stop by you because you guys do such a wonderful job in your department. And thank you for what you do because you're helping a lot of people to have a safe product that can help them to feel better.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And when you see customers come in and they tell you about some of their testimonials that they've got from the product, and sometimes they even bring in children, and it really just touches your heart where this is why I do what I do. This is why I come to work.
Is that
every
why
day.
You're so tough? Is it the farm girl that's tough,
hey,
or is it the chemist that's tough?
She runs
I do always
place,
tell people huh? I come from good stock. But we just want it done the right way, and sometimes I do get a little uppity about my position, and it's because I don't want something sent out that's wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get to the bottom of it, and I'm going to find out what happened, and we're going to make sure it doesn't happen again.
If you're buying anything from American Shaman, I promise you that it's been checked once, twice, three times.
Yep. And third
thoroughly.
Party. Yeah, you got it.
Thoroughly.
Got it. Jade, appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
Jade Mitchell, lead
Thank
chemist
for
CBD American Shaman, making sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And they had the big announcement today. They've been approved by the Hemp Authority, and they've gotten the approval from Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
No other Kansas City company that has that seal.
Did you hear that, folks? No other Kansas City company has that seal. And I think a lot of it is the third party tested, too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Very, a lot of it's jade.
Yeah.
It's jade.
Yeah.
It's not getting put on the shelves unless I've tested it.
You got it. All right, Jade, thanks so much for joining us. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll have a little breakdown of the Detroit Lions game. We'll give you our predictions, and we'll go from there. You're listening to
Crunch Time.
The most powerful sports station in America has a home in Kansas City. This is Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. We are CBD American Shaman here in Gladstone, up off of 307 Inglewood Drive. Pop on in. We got a couple more minutes. 30% off all products. People have been coming in and taking advantage of the specials. Also getting the great T-shirts from CBD America Shaman. Pop in and grab a T-shirt on us. You don't have to buy anything. Just pop in and say hello, and we'll give you a T-shirt. Frank, they play against the Detroit Lions in the Dome.
Do.
This will be the first time that Patrick Mahomes has played in a Dome in his NFL career.
Oh, boy.
Just looking at the Detroit, I'm going to let you talk a little bit about Patrick Mahomes and how great he is inside, but let me tell you a little bit about the Detroit Lions. Offensively, Stafford's their quarterback. He's having his best start since 2011. He's 64% of his passes completed with 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. I know that sounds pedestrian
he's
to Patrick Mahomes, but he's a very, very good quarterback. They do spread the wealth. They have their tight end. Hockerson has had a bunch of catches. Danny Amendola, you remember him from New England. He's opened up and had a good. And Kenny Golladay, another guy that's been good. They have a pretty good running back too. The Chiefs have to be worried about. I believe his name is Johnson. I just can't remember the first name. I don't have it right here in front of me. But he's a good player. Special team wise, they have a decent returner, Jermell Agnew, who's the first guy this year to return a touchdown in a regular season game. So Detroit's a good football team.
They like to take the ball away.
They do
a nice job of that.
They do, and Patricia is a great defensive coordinator and head coach. He's done pretty well for himself. This is not the easiest job in the world to take, and he's done a pretty good job with this job. So They have some talented guys on the defensive line, Flowers, Robinson, Harrison. They have some decent corners in and Jones, who's a guy they got from Chicago, and Slay, a guy they drafted a couple years ago in the second round. So they do have some quality defensive players, but the Chiefs, you know, listen, they haven't seen anything like the Patrick Mahomes show come in. Talk to us about what Patrick has done in his days.
Well, Mahomes in a controlled environment, it's unfair. That's basically all there is to it. Last time he played an indoor game was against Baylor. They played at the Jerry Dome down in Texas. This was in college. Texas Tech with Patrick Mahomes quarterback won 54-35. He was 30-46, 586 yards, 6 touchdown passes, and no interceptions.
Pretty good track record for a dome.
That's not bad.
No. Huh?
That'll get it done for you every time.
Just, isn't that amazing?
He's a pretty amazing guy, yeah.
With all the dome stadiums they have now, that he has not played in a dome stadium yet?
Well, he has not played inside domes as a professional.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They played a preseason game. Who did play Atlanta? They played Atlanta inside a preseason game, but that was a preseason game. So,
no.
Yeah, and remember the Lions now. They've faced their third straight playoff. This will be their third straight playoff team because they've already played the Chargers and Eagles.
Yeah.
Now, Chargers have been staggering around. So have the Eagles have been staggering around. But Detroit's taking advantage of it. They're taking the ball away on defense. They're pretty good over there. But, again, nobody has the speed to match up with the Kansas City Chiefs. Defensively, Stafford's a pretty good quarterback. Okay, so.
Yeah, and you know what? He's been banged up a bunch. The offensive line has struggled. They're playing better this year up front on the offensive line. He hasn't been hit as much, but he's a guy that likes to sit in that pocket, and he wants to let things develop, and the Chiefs are going to have a good chance of getting to him and sacking him and bringing some pressure. I thought the Chiefs did a little bit better job of bringing some pressure last week at times. I think that's something that will develop as this defense kind of gets to know each other a little bit better. I think you're going to see more and more with the stunts and the slants and the blitzes and some of the aggressive things that they could do under Spagnuolo. I don't think we've seen that quite yet to the extent that he would like to do it, but I think he understands that, listen, there's a lot going on in these guys' minds. He wants them fundamentally a technique sound first and knowing where they're going and how to get there. And they're still struggling with that, Frank. You're still struggling with gap integrity, and they're struggling with secondary stuff with communications. You know, there's not a guy here, or there's too many guys there, you know, in that zone. Zone's a lot different than man. Man, you can play that backyard football. You can cover a guy. You don't really have to think. In zone, you got to communicate so everybody knows where they're going.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is, too, when you are in position to make a play, you got to make the play. Okay, if you're Ward or Fuller on the corners, you got to make those plays. You can't let that ball be thrown up for grabs, and you're not the one that gets it. Number two, linebackers and defensive linemen get in position. You got to make the tackle. This team they're going to play this week, they tackle pretty well. Everybody will say, well, Chiefs don't tackle very well, but nobody in the league does. Well, this team does. Not only do they tackle the football, and that's why they end up getting the turnover. They go after the football. They make the tackle. They try to strip the ball away. They'll do it on wide receiver the same way. So this team, you know, the Chiefs don't play the Lions very often. You don't think about the Detroit Lions. Probably nobody's really worried about the Detroit Lions. The Chiefs are a 7-point road favorite, which is, you know, rare in the NFL. But for the Kansas City Chiefs, it's certainly not rare being a favorite. And they're going to be inside the dome. You're going to be playing against Detroit Tigers on their home field.
Detroit Lions
on their home field. So we'll see if that makes
a
difference. That
just shows how little we play them.
Oh, I know.
We play the Tigers all the time. We never play the Lions.
Never play the Lions. No, Lions, Tigers,
Lions and Tigers and Bears this year.
You got it. Yeah.
Oh, my.
And I think they say right now on the Action Network that 86% of the bets are taking the Chiefs right now in this football.
And we'll get our buddy on from the Action Network here one of these weeks and have him talk a little bit about some of the logistics going on. But, yeah, they're 2-0-1. They've had a tie, which is strange, but that's kind of the way the NFL is now with – you know, if that first day they have one quarter, if they don't take advantage of it, it's a tie. So, yeah, you know what? Listen, the Los Angeles Chargers didn't play very well against Detroit. But you know what? Detroit made them not play well. Right, exactly. And that's what they're going to try and do. I fully expect them to go after Patrick Mahomes and the team. What teams have been doing, and I think the serum or the secret for trying to limit Patrick Mahomes, which people have been trying, haven't been able to do, but is blitzing in the middle of the pocket and keeping that pocket.
You got to keep them in the pocket.
You keep them in the pocket. They're going up, the defensive ends are going up the field and kind of containing, and they're bringing pressure in the middle. I mean, Patrick's been able to take advantage of it, but the one thing he has, he's been getting hit a little bit more than I think we all feel comfortable with.
Yeah, right. He took a real beating in the first quarter against the Ravens last week. He was getting hit on virtually every play when he went back to pass. Cam Irving was having a problem handling his guy. Then the second quarter, they settled down. They settled down the offensive line. He didn't get hit nearly as much in the second quarter and for the rest of the game from that point on. But they've got to do that from the get-go. Andy even talked about it earlier this week. He talked about, yeah, Cam struggled early, but he really, you know, started to come on late. Remember, Cam's been moved over there to take Eric Fisher's spot. Fisher's going to be out for probably another 6 weeks. I'd say probably six more weeks for Eric Fisher. And that's a long time to be out there, but you know, somebody's got to step up and get it done. Because I think what you were saying before, I think everybody in the league, no matter what Patrick says, is going to take a shot at this kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to try to keep him in. Got to try to get him to the ground. Got to keep him in the pocket. And you got to hit him.
Yeah, and it makes me nervous. That's all I'm saying. It just makes me nervous. So offensive line's got to pick it up, make sure that they don't let that happen. And when it does happen and it's a cheap shot, they got to go take care of business. I mean, this is part of being an offensive lineman, a part of your job. So now I'm not saying go in a cheap shot in a guy. I'm saying take a number, go find him, and, you know, let him know, hey, listen, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's just like being a hockey player. You know, you got that enforcer.
That's right.
When Gretzky got hit in the boards, guess what happened?
That guy got nailed.
Everybody went after him. And that's what we got to have with Patrick Mahomes. You got to have that Gretzky type of protection. If somebody's going to slam your best player to the ground or against the boards, they're going to pay for it. And we got to make sure we get to that, and I think we will. Frank, I think this game, the Kansas City Chiefs win this one easy. I think it's 35-17, and I may even go more, and maybe even 42. That, you know, this team, I think they're going to score a lot in this game. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to have a great game indoors. That's a fast field with fast players against a team that's not used to that speed and hasn't seen Patrick Mahomes. I think all the arrows are pointing up that Chiefs score a bunch of points.
40-20. Final score.
I like it.
I think the best thing I saw Patrick Mahomes do last week was when he went out to block, and all of a sudden he saw two Baltimore Ravens going there, and he went, I don't think Indy would like this if I went in there and blocked. And he slid. That was the best thing I've ever seen. He slid. I feel like he had the ball, and so they couldn't hit him. I thought that was great.
Yeah,
that was the smartest thing
he
ever.
He looked like he was sliding to second base after a gapper.
Absolutely.
There. All right, guys. Well, we will let you guys go. Hey, remember, Lazzarone, if you're in the Bottoms area, stop in. Frank and I will be there.
Stephen St. John is already there.
All right, guys, you've been listening to right here at CBD America Shaman, Crunch Time.
The official broadcast partner of your AFC West champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Sports Radio 810 WHB.